Grab your seats. Anybody else excited about Christmas? Come on, it's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. You know, this is the first time I've ever had a Christmas jumper. You know, first time I've had a Christmas jumper. And I think it's the proudest I've ever been wearing a jumper since I was 7 years old when I had a green jumper, which my mum will probably remember. If my mum said, remember the green jumper, mum, that I had as a little boy? Yes, I was very proud of wearing that as a little boy. But this is not just a jumper. Just one second. It does go on for ages, so I better stop there. But I just love Christmas time. It is my favorite time of year. You know, it's just celebrating all of God's... It'll stop in a second. I'll just hold my hand here. It's celebrating all of God's goodness. You know, my heart's just so full of celebration this year. I've been... The passage of scripture we're talking about and the series that we're in at the moment about... You can see just behind that. Just finished. Home is where your story begins. There's just so much to celebrate in home this year, in our church home, in our family homes. There's so many reasons to do that. So hopefully you'll capture a little bit of that and a little bit of my heart this morning. Just want to say as well, if it is your first time here this morning, thanks for coming. It's really good to see you. Thanks for making the time to come being with us this morning. I hope you feel welcome in here and you capture a little bit of what Christmas really means this morning. Each of us has a story. Each of us has a story. Our lives are a story. And home is where your story begins. Home is where your story begins. All of our stories started at our family home. It could have been big, it could have been small, it could have been conventional home, it could have been otherwise, could have been completely different. It could have been a broken home or it could have been a relatively healthy home. But we all come from somewhere. At some point, we've started in a home somewhere. We've been born. Jesus' home situation wasn't exactly conventional. You know, we passionately want people to have healthy homes, but you know, Jesus' home situation wasn't conventional. It wasn't that healthy to start with. You know, Mary was pregnant before she was married, and in that time and day, you could be killed, literally killed for doing that. And Jesus was born in a stable. Now, I grew up on a farm. I know what stables are like. And Jesus was put in a manger. Now, we all think of the manger, nice, lovely, clean straw, you know, clean wood, you know, it's just such a picturesque scene. You know, a manger is a feed trough. You know what happens in feed troughs? Slaver goes into them. Bits of food come back out from the cows and the horses and the donkeys, whatever's been eaten in there. You know what they do after they've eaten? The cows turn around and they poo in the feed trough. That's what the manger was like. It was not a conventional home. It was not a conventional beginning. And for Jesus, you know, there was fear at the death of Herod as well. They were surrounded by suspicion and scandal at the time. There was danger. Jesus' life began in anything but an ideal situation. But that's still where his story began on earth. His story began at home. God loves to use our brokenness and our weakness for good. He loves to do that because none of us are perfect. All of us have flaws and weaknesses in our lives, but God loves to use that and turn that around and use it for good in our lives. And at Christmas time, God loves to do that. And all he simply asks us to do is to put our trust in him. When we put our trust in him, and I don't just mean that means kind of coming to church or turning up or something, but I mean in your heart, really believing, saying, God, I do trust you with my life. When you do that, he turns all that weakness and that brokenness into something that can be used for good, and something that you thought was broken and lost is can actually be for a hope and a future and something really good. That's what God loves to do with brokenness. You know, our spiritual life begins in our church homes. Every single one of us had a point somewhere where we began our spiritual life in a church home. For some of you here this morning, that's probably not begun. Because, you know, every single service we have people who are just exploring faith, who are figuring it out. Maybe come along with a family member or a friend or something like that. And we love it. It's great to have you here. Church is for you. And there's loads of people like that. So for some of you, your spiritual journey may not have begun yet. But for a whole bunch of you, it will have done. And the Bible describes that of being born again. And it kind of makes sense when you think about a home. You're born into a home, into our family home, but you're also born into a spiritual home. The Bible talks about a new birth, a new beginning, starting again. And that's what born again means, just simply. And hopefully for a whole bunch of you, you'll be born again. Just last Sunday morning at Blackpool, there was someone born again. Someone made a decision to follow Christ last Sunday morning. Maybe someone will today. And I know loads of people will do over this Christmas season. They will make that choice, think, you know what, I want to trust in Jesus and who he is and what he's done. And maybe for some of you this morning, hopefully your spiritual journey, your spiritual home, it'll just go to a whole nother level. We want to help create health in your life and in your home. Awesome. We're in the middle of this series at the minute. And Pastor Rad preached, Mel Scholes preached last weekend. Great messages. Get the podcast for those. And we just want to help you create an even better home in your life. That's one of the simple aims of this message. And we also want to create a healthy, more healthy church home here. Create a great home for you, a great home for your family, a great home for you to bring people into so that they can begin their spiritual journey as well. Your story has a beginning. You're alive. You were born into a home. It also needs a spiritual beginning. Let's just imagine and dream for a moment what our lives will look like as we create healthy homes for each other. Because it's not just about ourselves. It's about creating a healthy home for every single one of us. You know, it's only 10 days till Christmas. And as I've said already, I'm just so excited about Christmas time. It's my favorite time of year. So much fun and celebrating of Jesus coming and what it means and everything that surrounds that. And I never apologize to anyone for celebrating everything about Christmas. You know, I meet people who come in and say, oh, I'm just fed up. You know, it's August or it's September time and Christmas stuff's out already. And I don't mind. I love it because it means we can start celebrating Christmas a little bit earlier there. There's just so much to celebrate about Christmas. You know, we have that famous Christmas song, Driving Home for Christmas. Who else puts that on in the car on the way home, Christmas Eve? Yeah, that's right. I do. I just love that song, Christmas. There's just so much to be excited about Christmas. So as we look at the Christmas story next couple of weeks here at church, we're gonna look at the truth of it and the principles of it and see how we can apply that into our homes and see how we can apply that into our church homes here and just help create the most healthy one. So why don't we turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read one of the most famous bits of the Bible. I would encourage you, if you've never read the whole Christmas story, read it. There's something, this is from my mum. She every single Christmas Eve, she's putting icing on the Christmas cake in the afternoon. And at 3 o'clock, she turns on carols from King's College in Cambridge. Then she listens to that. And you know, I just growing up, it's just what happened. But I listen to it now when I can do if I'm not busy then, because it goes through all the different passages of scripture that relate to Christmas. So if you've never done that, do that, listen to it. It's on BBC Radio 4. Yes, I am getting old. I am a BBC Radio 4 listener now. But there we are. It's awesome. But just read through the scriptures about Christmas because they're powerful and they're life-changing. But Luke chapter 2, starting from verse 8. And it says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. It's probably my favorite part of the Christmas story, the shepherds. You know, my dad's a shepherd. He's sat over there and he's been a shepherd for decades. I was brought up on a farm and I loved that upbringing. And I used to go out and help on the farm from a little boy all the way through. And when I was a student, I used to come and work at home on the farm and earn some money and help dad. And very occasionally, now I'll go back and help on the farm. And so I can relate to this story from a shepherd's point of view because I understand a little bit about it. But whether you've been brought up on a farm or whether you know anything about sheep and shepherding, there's so much to this story. There's so much to this part of the Christmas story. And I want to give you a couple of thoughts just to begin with in this story. Maybe things that you might not have come across or might not have thought about just in terms of this passage. Because if you've been in church any length of time, you'll have almost certainly you'll have read this or you'll have heard it or you'll have come across it somewhere. But I just want to give you a couple of thoughts. The first one is this. The shepherds in this day were not respectable farmers, but they were the lowest of the low class. you know, they were the kind of the bottom of the pile in terms of work, in terms of social standing, in terms of everything. I've heard it described by one preacher that they were the scum of the earth. That's what they were like, the shepherds back in this time. They stayed out with the sheep. They lived with them. Notice it was the night. They were out with their sheep in the middle of the night. It was smelly. It was dirty. It was low paid. They didn't own the sheep. They were just looking after them for someone else. But you know what? God was interested in them, and God wanted them to know about Jesus and about what was happening and the good news that was happening right there about Jesus being born. It says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people." You know what? Christmas is for everyone. Christmas is for everyone. No one is excluded from Christmas. It doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter your race or your language, your color, or your creed, or whatever it is about you. Christmas is for you. Christmas is for you. It doesn't matter where you come from. It's for you. So I think that's a good reason to celebrate it wide and to celebrate it loud with absolutely everybody that we can. God was saying, let's celebrate with everybody. He was saying, it doesn't matter who you are, from what's the lowest maybe in society to the highest. It's for everybody. Christmas is for everybody. So let's have parties. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate with our neighbors, with our friends, and let's be like God and celebrate with everyone. You know, over Christmas time, it's actually one of the busiest times of year for us as a family because we have so many family parties. Every year we have a Carter family party, have a B family party, which is my mum's side. On my dad's side, there's about 50 of us now who get together. And they've been having this family party since before I was born, way back into the 70s, 1970s, that is. Not the 1870s, back into the 1970s. My dad's not that old. Back into the 1970s. And so for 40-odd years now, however long it is, we've been getting together every single Christmas celebrating, you know, celebrating together the goodness of God. And then the next night we'll have a Carter family party, and then we'll have another party, and then we'll have some friends. And then it's just party time for us because we love celebrating the goodness of God and everything that God has done. So let's celebrate with everybody at Christmas time. It's about celebration. It's okay. Let's celebrate. The second thought I want to bring to you is this. It's about the angel and the angel choir. We read this, and maybe like me, you've read it many times and, you know, think, oh, it's an angel. Oh, it's just an ordinary, routine, everyday angel. You know, we've all seen them before, right? We've all met one. You know, we know their names, right? It's just an ordinary angel. No, it's not, is it? It's an angel. It's the glorious presence of God and kind of an angel, that shining, that brightness, that power, that height, the brightness that comes from them. It's an angel. Take a second and picture that. This isn't just some ordinary routine occurrence. We read it like it is. We just read the words and we skip over it. Imagine for a moment an angel. Imagine meeting an angel, 10, 9, 10, 12 feet, how tall they are, bright, shining, creating their own light, reflecting the glory of God for who they are, the voice speaking out with power and authority. Can you imagine a moment, an angel? What must the shepherds have felt like in that moment? They must have been pretty scared, right? They must have been pooing their pants, quite honestly. I would be in that situation if just suddenly an angel appeared. And then it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. You know, a multitude means thousands. You know, I think we often think of an angel choir in terms of choirs that we've seen. You know, maybe you've been in a church with a choir, maybe you've been to some choir concert, maybe you're even going to one at a school or something like that. And we think, you know, maybe 20, 30 people, maybe 50, maybe 100 people in a choir. That's a big choir, isn't it? Something like that. A multitude, there was thousands. Can you imagine a choir of thousands just lined up in the sky? Take a moment to think about that. A choir of thousands singing praise and glory to God. It's so much bigger than we think it is, this story, this part of it. Thousands of angels up there. I struggle to imagine that. A few years ago, Pastor Ed was preaching on the Christmas story and on this passage, and he brought this kind of next thought I want to bring to you. And he was saying that, well, you know, in Scripture, when God sends an angel, he just sends one angel. You know, he sent one angel to Joseph, he sent one angel to Zechariah, he sent one angel to Mary. Maybe occasionally he sends two angels to things. But if you look through all of Scripture, it's one angel delivering the message, right? You know, if you know the Bible at all, you'll know that's true. But here, there were thousands of angels. Why were the thousands of angels delivering this message? Just doing the delivering the message. And I think it was because, and this was Pastor Ed's thought, was because there was so much partying and celebration in heaven, it spilled over into earth, that it just couldn't be contained within the bounds of heaven, all the celebration and the, just the angels. So I like to think about it like this, that the angels were kind of, they were partying and they were celebrating and they were kind of whispering among each other, should we do it? Should we go to earth? We're just so excited. It's the salvation of mankind. It's the beginning of the salvation plan. We're just so excited about what God's doing. It's going to be awesome. Should we go down to earth? And it's like they're almost doing it, but without God's permission. That kind of partying, it just breaks into earth. That's what it's like. And that's why we can celebrate. God loves celebration. God just thinks it's amazing. Thousands of angels praising God and celebrating there, celebrating God's salvation plan for mankind. So that's a couple of thoughts. And I hope that just enlarges the story for you a little bit about the shepherds and about what it means at Christmas. Because for the rest of the message, I just want to bring you three principles. Three principles, really simple principles from the shepherds to help build our homes. Is this all okay? Is this good? Excellent. Home is where the story begins. Let's not forget that. But the first principle is this. Bring what you can. Bring what you can. The shepherds brought what they could. They brought themselves to see Mary and Joseph and to see Jesus. Verse 15 and 16 of Luke 2 says this. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They went. You know, some of the traditional pictures of Christmas have the shepherds carrying a lamb under their arm and things like that. Chances are they wouldn't be doing that because they didn't actually own the sheep. They weren't theirs to carry. So they didn't go with any gifts, or they didn't go with anything. They just went as themselves. All they had to bring was themselves. So they brought themselves and they took themselves to see Jesus. They didn't have to go to see Jesus, but they did. You know, they were generous with who they were. And they didn't all have to go and see Jesus, you know, but all of them went to see Jesus. They could have sent one of them, hey, why don't you just go and check this out? And then we'll come along later. Or what, you know, maybe a couple of them will nominate you guys and you go. They didn't talk about it for a while, but they just said, hey, let's go and see. They brought themselves to see Jesus. You know, one thing I really noticed as well this time is that God didn't tell them to go and see this, did he? He didn't say, go and see the baby. They chose to do that themselves. God told them the amazing news and then let them decide. But they chose, they went, they brought themselves to the home, to where Jesus was and where Jesus had been born. They brought what they could. You know, healthy homes start with that generosity. They start with us bringing ourselves to that home. They brought what they could. Maybe you don't have much in your home. Just simply bring what you can. Bring yourself. If you bring yourself, that's enough. That's enough if you bring yourself. One of my favorite Christmas memories as a boy was getting an envelope for my main present. And I don't know how old I was, probably 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere around there. And I got this main envelope for the present. And quite honestly, I was a little bit disappointed because it was just an envelope for my, you know, my big Christmas present. And I thought, what's in it? Maybe there's some money, maybe there's some vouchers or something like that. And I opened it and there was a letter and it had some instructions on that had been written by my mum and dad. And it had some instructions to go outside. So I followed the instructions and walked down the yard and walked outside. And I walked into what was called the Proven House, which was a building where we used to store animal feed. And on top of a bag of seed, and there was another note to me saying, Andrew, this is for you and you'll need this for your Christmas present. And it had some more instructions where to go. So I wandered off down the yard. I had to go this way and that way and one or two little things, and went through this door, went into another of the buildings. And inside this building, there was a crate or cage, like a storage thing with hens inside. And that was my Christmas present. There was a whole bunch of hens inside this. Now, to you, that may not be very exciting, but for me, it was a huge thing. There was these hens. I lived on a farm. I thought it was awesome. There was hens in there. But that wasn't it, because there was another note on this cage. I thought, well, what else could there be? You know, I've got some hens here. So I followed the instructions back out, down the yard, back into the field, out to one of the cabins that we have in the orchard area, and went inside there. And inside there, my dad had built this whole kind of big cage thing to house the hens inside it, with a hatch outside so they could run outside, and feeders and places where they lay their eggs and all these sorts of things. And it just blew me away, this incredible Christmas present there. It's one of my strongest memories of Christmas as a little boy. And it was a hugely generous gift from my mum and dad. And I don't just mean financially, obviously it costs some money to do that. But the time that they'd spent and invested in doing that, the time they spent writing and thinking about how it would be exciting for me going outside, the time my dad had spent building this thing, it must have taken him hours to build this hen kind of area in this cabin and things. What they did was they gave of themselves to me. They gave of themselves into the home that I was part of. As they gave of themselves to me, that created a memory which will stay with me for the rest of my life. You know what? My mum and dad didn't just do that in Christmas, although they did. It's one of the reasons I love Christmas so much. It's because they gave of themselves into their home. It created an incredible Christmas for me that I love and that I always will always love Christmas and now going forwards. And mum and dad still do that. They still give of themselves now. Even though I've left home, the number of times that they've helped and they give of themselves, you never stop giving of yourselves into your home. It doesn't matter what age you get. You never retire from giving into your home. You never retire from giving into your home. It doesn't matter if your children have left home. You never retire from giving into your home. Great homes are full of generous people. Great homes are full of generous people. And generosity starts with you. Doesn't start with someone else. Maybe you're thinking this person in my home should be more generous. It's not the way it works. Generosity starts with you, giving of yourself. And it's the same in the church home. Great church homes are full of generous people. And I know this one is. It's full of generous people, incredibly generous people in so many different ways. You know, we have a giving message that Joe did a few minutes ago, and we think about finances and generosity. And yeah, that is part of generosity, but it's such a small part of it. Generosity is so much more than that. You know, in one of the Connect groups, it was, in fact, Rob and Sarah's Connect, they were helping Pete and Joe move one night. Joe's nodding all the way back there. And it was a Friday night, the normal Connect night. They got together, they brought all the children along, and they helped Pete and Joe move house. They brought themselves and gave themselves. And if Pete and Joe had just been doing it on their own, it would have taken, I don't know, days probably. I don't know how long it would have taken to do it. But they did it in one night because there was generous people who gave into their home. A simple example of generosity. But bring yourself. I want to ask you the question, are you bringing what you can into your home? Are you bringing what you can into your family home? Are you bringing what you can into your church home? Are you doing that? Are you bringing yourself? Are you bringing yourself? It starts simply with bringing yourself. You know, we can all do that. And as we do, we'll create great homes. It's not a hugely complex thing. It's a simple principle. But bring what you can. Is that okay? Fantastic. Second principle. It's going to blow you away, this one. Are you ready? Bring what you can now. Bring what you can now. The shepherds didn't wait around to bring what they could. They brought what they could straight away. Verse 15 and 16, let me read it to you again. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They went with haste, some fast movement. There was some action there. They didn't wait around. You know what? They didn't form a committee and debate it. They didn't think about it. They didn't take time. They didn't wait until tomorrow. They didn't think, oh, it'll be easier to go tomorrow. They didn't think, oh, maybe next week when my diary is a little bit more free, I'll do it then. They didn't think, oh, it's almost New Year. I'll make the New Year's resolution and I'll go then. I'll bring myself then. No, they decided to go there and then. You know, so often we make so many excuses and we think of so many reasons of not to bring ourselves now into home, of not to be generous. But the shepherds didn't. They just got on with it. Don't forget, it was the middle of the night. It would have been sensible to wait till morning, right? To go, you know, it would be normal. Or maybe they were thinking, oh, the baby's going to be up anyway. We can just go. You know, if you've got a newborn baby, you know, you're up in the night quite a lot with it. But no, they didn't wait until morning, which is what most of us would do. We would think, oh, let's wait until morning. But they actually went for it. They said, no, let's go now. They brought what they could do now. They brought what they could do now. They didn't wait around. They went for it. This principle is about good intentions versus doing the good and being generous. It's about good intentions. Yeah, oh yeah, that's a good thing to do. I should be generous with that. To actually going and doing it. It's a huge thing, is that? Because we all have good intentions. I've never met anyone yet who doesn't have good intentions in some way or shape or form. But so often we don't act on those intentions. And we think it'll be, we'll do it at this point, we'll do it at that point, we'll do it then, we'll do it in the future, we'll do it when this is sorted and this is organized. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking with Chrissy about the volunteers meal, which was this last Monday, and we were talking about the dress and things, and my wife was the most beautiful woman in the whole place that night. She was incredible. And we were talking about clothes and things like that, and she asked me, after we talked about her dress and things, she asked me what I was going to wear, and I said, I'm going to wear my suit. a suit. And I've had this suit for years. I've had it for like a decade, actually. And she was like, well, why don't you get a new shirt for it? You know, you brighten it up, it'll look good and so on. And I was like, well, I'm waiting until I lose a bit of weight. And, you know, I don't want to buy a bigger shirt and then I'll lose weight and then it'll shrink down. I just want to buy one shirt. And then she said, well, you've been meaning to lose weight for the last 3 years. And I was like, well, I didn't have anything to say because it was true. I had been meaning to do it for 3 years. And I had good intentions, but I didn't act on it. I hadn't acted on it. I did end up going and buying a new shirt, actually. I think I had to buy a bigger shirt. But I didn't act on it. Good intentions versus actually doing the good and going for it. And it's so easy in our homes to think like this. You know, we think, oh, you know, next week or next year, I'll spend more time with the kids when it's a little bit less busy, when I'm a little bit less tired. Or maybe I'll start a savings plan when we've got a little bit more money, when I get the next rise or the bonus comes in, I'll start saving at that point there. Or you think, oh, my son's going to, you know, my daughter's going to, you know, I'll call them next month. I'll give them a bit of time to settle in when they're just desperate for a phone call from you. And they want to know that you love them and that you still care for them, even though you've left home. Put whatever it is in there for you. It could be all sorts of different things. Whatever you've been meaning to do. What have you been meaning to do in your home? What have you been meaning to do in your family home? The shepherds brought what they could now. Whatever it is for you, bring it now. Start doing it now. Begin the journey now. Make that step now. Make that phone call now. Make that decision now. Act on it now. Don't even wait until tomorrow. Do it today. Go for it and start doing it now. Maybe for some of you, Christmas time, you're thinking, I'd love to make that phone call to try and reconcile some of my family. You know, we think about family at Christmas time. This afternoon's the time to make that phone call. Now is the best time to do that. Make the call, say, hey, can we get together? Can we do something? Can we make it up? Now's the time to do that. The principle is the same for our church home as well. You know, bring yourself now into the church home. Maybe for some of you, you've been thinking about volunteering on one of the teams, but you've just never quite done it. Volunteer today, you know, fill in one of the details cards, go to the info, say, hey, I'd love to help out. How can I help out? I'd love to pack some stockings, this afternoon. I'd love to do whatever it is. I'd love to help out. I'd love to do something. Maybe you need to start that. Or maybe some of you volunteering thinking, I need to volunteer to another level. I need to take it up a notch here. Jesus has transformed my life. And I know if I help, I can help other people find what I have. You need to start stepping up to that next level. Don't hold back. Do it now. Do it now. Do whatever it takes to do it now. It says in Psalm 92, 12 and 13, this is my paraphrase of it. If you read the whole psalm, it makes sense. But this paraphrase of these verses says, those who are planted in the house of God will flourish in his courts. When you bring what you can, when you bring yourself now into your home or into your church home, it leads to growth and it leads to flourishing. And it, in your life and your home, it will grow and it will increase. It's an automatic thing when you do that. When you plant yourself in it, when you bring yourself now into it, it will grow. You might be sat there thinking, how can I bring more of myself? How can I do it? You know, often our lives are full. Most of us live full lives. And the best example I can use is about loving children. And Christy and I don't have any children yet, maybe one day soon. But I've got 9 nephews and nieces and another one on the way. And that's the best example I can use. But I've spoken to parents who have children. The first child that they have, they love that child more than anything. Their heart is just completely given over to this child and dreaming for their future and thinking about them and loving them and helping them, looking after them and all these things. And then a second child starts to come along. And all parents ask this question, like, how can I love this second child as much as I love this first one? How can I do that? Because this child has my whole heart. Things. But every single parent I've spoken to says that their heart grows. And they can love that second child just as much as they can the first one. They give their whole heart to that second child as well. And their heart just grows and expands. And the same with the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth. And however many children you have, just your heart begins to expand and it grows with every single child that you love. That's what generosity is like. As you give of yourself, your heart and your world grows. It begins to expand and you can fill into it. Every single one of us can bring yourself. You can bring more now than you are doing in this moment. Every single one of you can. It says in Proverbs 11, 24, 25, the Message version, it says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. You know, you and your home misses out when you don't bring yourself now into it, when you don't do it. Your family home misses out when you don't bring yourself into it. What do you need to do in your family home? Your church home misses out when you don't bring yourself now into it. You can. It will expand. Your world will expand and grow. It'll go places you never even dreamed were possible as you do that. There's so much more for your future. So bring yourself now. That's the second principle. All still doing good? Yeah. Third principle. Third and final principle. Bring thanks and praise to God. Bring thanks and praise to God. You know, the shepherds were full of thanks and praise to God for what they had seen and the good news they'd heard. They couldn't restrain themselves from speaking out about it, from thanking God and praising God and telling everybody around them of what God had done and what they'd heard and what they'd seen. It just overflowed into every single conversation. In verse 17 and 18 and verse 20, it says, "And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. So they told Mary and Joseph, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." They just couldn't contain the thanks and praise that was inside of them. The title of this series, as I said before, is Home is Where Your Story Begins. Imagine if our homes are full of thanks and praise to God. Imagine if our homes are full of thanks and praise. The shepherds knew there was something to be thankful for. They knew that Jesus was coming. They knew he was bringing peace to all mankind. And they knew there was a future and a hope for every single human being from it. They were so thankful. They didn't understand it fully at that point, but they didn't need to because they knew that something special had happened. And they knew it was worth praising God for. The future was better. There was a hope. You know, let's fill our homes with thankfulness and praise. Let our homes be known of places that are full of life and full of positivity. You know, bringing it down to the simplest level, let's be generous with our words. Let's be generous with our words. Let's lift people up. Let's encourage people. Let's strengthen people with our words in our homes. You know, last week I was at Blackpool and Pastor James and Sam are just some of the most positive, encouraging people I've ever met in my life. You know, you speak to Sam, it doesn't matter what's going on in our life, life's good. For Sam, they're just so full of life. They're in every way, they're so positive. You know, the world is so full of negativity. All we have to do is turn on the news or turn on the radio or listen to a song or read a newspaper to see all the words of negativity that are full of the world. It says in Proverbs 18:21, it says, "The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit." So if your words are full of life, you will eat the fruit of life, which is more life. If your words are full of death and negativity and negativeness about your world or your family or whatever is going on, you will eat the fruit of that. You will eat death. You will eat the fruit of your words. You know, we instruct our children to say thank you. Wouldn't it be awesome if rather than us having to instruct them, they just copied us and said thank you? Wouldn't that be an awesome thing to do that we wouldn't even need to say, hey, come on, let's say thank you for this. Because they've seen us saying thank you in every situation. Wouldn't that be a powerful thing if we could see that? You know, I've been thinking about this, about saying thank you. And I was like, do you ever get tired of someone thanking you? Have you ever got fed up of someone saying thank you to you for something? You just don't get tired of someone saying thank you to you, do you? Positive words, life-filled words, praise and thanks to God never get old. They never get tired. They're always full of life. Let's be generous with our words everywhere. You know, the shepherds were generous with their words with everyone they met. It says they couldn't contain it. They were generous with everyone they met. Let's be people like that. Generous with our words everywhere. Every situation in our homes, in our workplaces, when we're out shopping, whatever we're doing in life, let's be generous with our words in every single place. Let's say thank you to people. Let's tell people that they're awesome, that they're doing an awesome job. When you're with the cashier who just looks miserable at the end of a shift, just say, "You're doing an awesome job. Thanks for checking my food out today. I appreciate that." You know, why don't we say happy Christmas to people? Just turn to someone and say happy Christmas. I just love that. I just love that. You notice how when you say happy Christmas, smiles erupt everywhere? So the smiles on every single face then when you were saying happy Christmas to people. You know, when you do that in the world, people will smile. I do it in the shops. I try and do it all the time when I'm buying fuel and things at this time of year or whatever I'm doing. I just say, happy Christmas to you. And most people are like, oh yeah, same to you, yeah. Because they're just not expecting it, but a smile erupts on their face when you wish someone a happy Christmas. Let's be people who wish everybody a happy Christmas. It never gets old doing that. There's power in our words. Let's be people full of thanks and praise. You know, here in church, if we can get the worship team up as well, we're coming in to close. Here in church, let's make it the most thankful, the most generous atmosphere that anybody has ever been in. You know, when someone comes in for their first time, they cannot believe how much life there is in this place. Not only in the service when we're singing and praising God and dancing, but when beforehand and afterwards, let it be loud, let it be positive, let it be full of life, let it be encouraging. Let's be a church like that. You know, as Christians, we've got more to be thankful for than anybody else on the whole planet. You know, we've met with Jesus Christ. He's saved our souls for eternity. He's given us a purpose and a plan for living here on earth. He's got an incredible future for us. He's safe. Your life is safe in his hands. He's given it. We've got more to be thankful for and to praise God for and to be thankful for in life than anybody else. Does anybody believe that? Can I hear an amen for that? God is just incredible towards us. Let's out of our mouths like come generous words to what Jesus has done for us. You know, let's let that spill over into our lives as well. So often we kind of hold back. We kind of hold back on saying, telling people what God has done. You know, mate, when someone says or is negative about Christmas in your workplace or you hang out with some friends, say, you know what? I love Christmas. This is the best time of year. And talk about it some more. Talk about the things you love about Christmas. But at some point in there, why don't you say, because Jesus came, that's the whole reason for Christmas. Do you want to come to church with me this weekend? The power of doing that, the power of positive, the power of life and words of positivity and being thankful to God. Let's make him famous. Let's tell others about what he has done, just like the shepherds did. They couldn't contain it. They couldn't contain it. All the goodness of the things that God has done. And let's speak with such generosity and thankfulness with our words that when we tell people about Jesus, they'll go, I understand now. They'll realize why we were so full of life and why we're so positive when we tell them about Jesus, because we're so positive and full of life with our words. You know, it says in verse 18, it says, all who heard it wondered. All who heard it wondered. People will wonder why you're so full of life this Christmas. People will wonder why you're so full of life this Christmas. And when they do wonder, say, why don't you come along to church and find out? Will you stand with me? We're just going to pray. We're just about to close in a few minutes' time. I would love to pray. I would love to pray for you. So if we can just bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment or two. I'd love to pray for your home. Because I know there's so many different homes represented here. Of different kinds, of different shapes, of different sizes, and some are hard work, some are easy. And I would love to pray for your home. Whatever you need this morning, God has the answer for your home. And he just simply asks that you would bring yourself, and you would bring yourself now to him first and foremost. But you'd bring all of yourself into what you're doing. Bring yourself into your home. Let your heart come open. Let your world expand. Jesus, we thank you that you place each and every one of us in our home. Lord God, whatever that home is like, Lord, we thank you that you've placed us there for a reason. And that we're not there by accident, that there's no mistake, the reason that we're in our home, Lord God. No matter what it feels like, no matter the challenges that are being there. And God, I just pray right now for every single person who's struggling in their home. Lord, I pray that you give them a peace in their heart, Lord God. You say at Christmas time you came to bring peace to all mankind. And I pray peace into people's hearts, Lord God. Oh, but as well as that, Lord, I pray for courage and I pray for strength for their home, Lord God. Lord God, that you've got a future for that home. You've got a glorious future for that home, Lord God. No matter how dark or bleak things may look right now, God, you've got a future for that home. Lord, and I pray you give the people in it, you give them strength and courage. Lord, and I pray right now that they would commit themselves to you, Lord God, that would give all of themselves to you, Lord God, and that they would bring themselves into their home. Lord God, I pray in their hearts and in their minds right now, they'd be saying, I am going to give myself to my home. I'm going to give myself fully into my home. I'm going to be generous with myself into my home, Lord God. And I pray you would, as they do that, God, you would expand their heart and expand their mind, Lord God. Give them a picture of the future. Give them a picture of what can be, Lord God, as they do this and they're seeing the power of God at work in their lives, Lord Jesus. I just pray for that right now. And Lord God, I pray for those homes that are going good in this place. Lord, we thank you for them, Lord God. We thank you for healthy homes that are powerful homes. homes that are full of goodness and are full of grace, Lord God. Lord Jesus, and I pray you would take those homes to another level, Lord Jesus. Lord, you would just release your power on that home, Lord God, so they would impact all those around them, Lord Jesus. They would impact their wider family, Lord God, this Christmas in a way that they've never seen before, Lord God. Lord, I pray that as they walk out that door, they would know that the power of God and the armies of God go with them, Lord Jesus, and nothing can stop them and nothing can hold them back. And God, I pray for our church home, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for our church home. Lord, we thank you we can be born again in your name. We can have a fresh start and a new beginning, Lord God. Can I hear an amen from anyone? Lord God, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst, Lord God. Lord, but we pray for even greater measure of what you're sending to us, God. Send us more, Lord Jesus, for more of your power, more of your goodness, God. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Come on, Lord.
His love will reign forever. 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 His love will reign forever.
Just going to take another couple of moments in this atmosphere of prayer. If you would just close your eyes and bow your head. So maybe there's some of you here in this place this morning, you're wondering why I got so excited, why I am so excited about Christmas. Hopefully you've captured a little bit of that. But maybe you've not started that journey of faith. Maybe you've not found a spiritual home yet. You've not had that, been born again, that fresh start in a spiritual way. You know, the angel says it, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The Christian message is good news for everybody, for every single person. God loves you. He thinks you're amazing. He's got an incredible plan and a future for you. But there's something called sin which is blocking that. It's stopping you from having a relationship with God and from walking into the incredible future that he has for you. That's called sin. It's the wrong things, the rubbish, the junk in our lives. It's living our lives our own way rather than God's way. And that sin is so destructive, we can't sort it out ourselves. We can't fix the problem ourselves. But God sent Jesus. Jesus, he came as a baby. He lived a life, a perfect life. He didn't sin. And he died on a cross for each and every one of us. He took our place on that cross. Sin deserved death, but Jesus took our death for us. And he rose again on the third day, proving that he was the Son of God, that he was who he said he was. And all that leaves us with is a choice. Do we want to trust in God or not? If you're a Christ follower this morning, I just encourage you to be praying in this moment. But I would love to give you the opportunity, if you've never made a decision before to trust in Jesus, to start a spiritual life with him, to remove that sin and begin a relationship with your God and walk into that destiny and that future you have, I would love to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. If you've never done that before, maybe you have made that decision once before in the past, but you know you've turned away far from it, far from God. I'd love to invite you back again. God still loves you. He still thinks you're awesome. There's a second chance. In fact, God's the God of the second chance, the third chance, the 52nd chance, the 151st chance. God still loves you. If you want to come back to him this morning as well, this moment is for you too. So I'm just simply going to count down. I'd love to help pray with you. We'll just pray in a moment. I won't bring you out, anything to embarrass you, anything like that. Just a simple decision between you and God, but I just want to help you pray. But just so I know who I'm going to be praying for, I simply want you to raise your hand when I count down. I'm going to go 3, 2, 1. As soon as I hit one, that's your decision point. So just simply raise your hand in the air and I'll acknowledge it. And then you can pop your hand down. 3, God loves you. 2, he's got a purpose and a plan for your future, an awesome one. 1, if that's you, then simply raise your hand now. No one's looking around. This is a moment between you and God right now. Simply raise your hand to heaven and then we can pray. Just a few more seconds. A couple more seconds, then we're going to pray. Come on, this is your moment. Don't wait for it. If your heart's beating like the clappers and you've got butterflies in your stomach, this is your moment to raise your hand and make the decision. Don't wait. This is your moment right now. Few more seconds, then we're going to pray. God, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, we thank you for what you've done in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the good news of everything you've done. Lord, and we thank you that we can celebrate this time of Christmas. God, and I pray this Christmas we would celebrate more than we've ever done in our entire lives, God, of your goodness and how you've rescued us. Lord Jesus, we just want to join with the angels of heaven in parting. In your name we pray. And everybody agreed and said, amen, amen. Amen.